Welcome to Stateside. I'm Laura Weber Davis, in for April Bear. Later on the show today, we'll meet a filmmaker who hopes to help revive the film industry in Michigan. That's later on the show, but first, a package of election rule changes is working its way through the Republican-led legislature. Last night, the State House moved forward with measures that would eliminate the ability to sign a sworn affidavit if you don't have a state-issued ID when you go to vote. It's part of a package of 39 proposals that Republicans want to change election law in the state. The sweeping changes also align with similar changes proposed in Republican legislatures throughout the country. Here to tell us where things are in Michigan is Zach Gorchow. He's publisher of Gongwer News Service. Zach, welcome back to Stateside.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. So where does this package of bills stand in their process?
Well, there's different layers of this. The bills you just mentioned, the voter ID bills, are definitely the furthest along in the process. They've passed both the Senate and the House. They're headed back to the Senate for final passage votes. And that would have to happen before they go to the governor. You mentioned the 39 bill Senate package. Many of those have yet to even get out of committee. The House has moved some other bills of its own that haven't seen any action in the Senate yet. So there's a lot of different bills and a lot of different stages of the process right now.
So would you say that Republicans are sort of showing their hand about what's most important on their priority list by working on these bills first?
Yes. Okay. They, you know, voter ID requirements are very popular. They have strong support with the public. And you're even seeing, I think, New York Times had a story yesterday that Democrats are starting nationally anyways to back off a little bit of their strident opposition to these requirements. I think that's probably in part because it's a losing issue for them to fight against. But also, they've got a lot of evidence over the years that this has not really caused problems. You know, in hearing, you know, Democrats have been really, really critical of these bills as quote unquote voter suppression bills. But as they themselves have noted, Michigan has a voter ID requirement. It has had one for many, many years now. And at the time that was enacted, Democrats lambasted it as a voter suppression tactic designed to prevent poor people from voting because they are less likely to have ID. You know, now Democrats are big defenders of the affidavit option that Michigan law provides, where if someone doesn't have an ID or if they don't want to show an ID, they can simply sign an affidavit that they are who they say they are. They've been very supportive of that structure of the law. I would just point out, at the time this current law passed 20 some years ago, the Democrats were not seeing that as some sort of fail-safe option. They thought it was a terrible law to begin with. So, you know, we've seen nothing but voter participation increase substantially since then. So there's just not a lot of evidence right now that voter ID rules do in fact suppress the vote. I think in 2020, something like 11,000 people statewide out of, you know, millions and millions and millions of votes cast in Michigan used the affidavit option. And we're talking about a really small number.
Right.
But yes, I think Republicans are showing their hands. They know this is a proposal where they have the upper hand politically. Yes, that is why they're moving on it.
So then, if this is one that Democrats are backing off of a little bit, what measures in the package do they find to be most egregious?
Well, I think everything else, essentially. I think the one they have definitely homed in on, and the one where I think they would likely have the upper hand politically, is this requirement on the absentee ballots. It's one thing to require ID at a polling place. It's a completely other measure. It's a completely different thing to, you know, have to provide an electronic copy of your ID if you're voting absentee. That is something that nobody is used to doing, has not been done. Obviously, a lot of people are voting absentee now. A lot of seniors vote absentee. And if they suddenly make this, you know, a real nightmare process, that could become a problem.
Zach, many years ago, the state Supreme Court ruled that the current voter ID law does not amount to a poll tax because of the ability of voters to sign a sworn affidavit, and thereby not requiring folks to pay for a state ID. So how are Republicans proposing to get around that court opinion by then absolutely requiring a state ID?
Well, one of the bills that the House passed yesterday and is now back in the Senate would waive the charge for IDs when you initially get your identification. It's a $10 charge right now. And so I think their feeling is if we make IDs free, this gets rid of the poll tax factor.
So when you pair these election bills with yesterday's report from Senate Republicans that there was no election fraud in 2020, what do you make of that juxtaposition today?
That the legislative Republicans are, I don't know if desperately is the right word, or I'll just use it because I can't think of a better word right now, but they are trying to thread this needle between the base of the Republican Party, sort of rank and file voters, the activists who are showing up who wrongly believe that Joe Biden did not legitimately win the election, and try to placate them, but yet basically, the, you know, with maybe one or two exceptions, maybe three, the elected establishment of the Michigan Republican Party, I'm talking about elected legislators, almost all of them, with a few exceptions, believe Biden did win the election legitimately. They have said so. This report really strongly says so. And so they are trying to thread this needle to show their base. We are trying to make elections more secure, but we're not going to try some of these out there attempts to muddy the waters on whether Joe Biden legitimately defeated Donald Trump. So they're trying to show they're doing something and placate their base. I don't think it's working though. The base of the party, last week there were a couple hundred Trump loyalists out on the front lawn of the Capitol who adamantly believed the election was stolen.
So if we look at the potential, or I would even say likely, lifespan of these proposals, we're looking at Governor Whitmer, who has already said that she plans to veto most, if not all, of the measures that come to her desk. You have a Republican Party, state party, that says they plan to try and make it law anyway by pushing ballot initiatives and having the legislature approve these changes before voters even had a say. But it would be hard to make all of these changes go through in so many ballot initiatives, which requires hundreds of thousands of signatures and a lot of time, energy, and money. So it's a series of loopholes and hoops that are going to have to be jumped through to move these along, most likely. And then, of course, that isn't even scratching the surface of the types of court challenges that are going to be presented at any stage of this process. So I think the question I keep asking, Zach, is how long might the questions of these election changes be playing out?
When it comes to challenges to elections law, there will be a lot of pressure on the courts to make a decision before the next election. So you could say probably before the August 2022 primary. I would guess, if the Republicans are serious about, an initiated law that they could gather signatures and bring before the legislature, it will have to be much more focused than 39 to 50 bills that are out there now. They're not going to be able to throw the kitchen sink into this. It's just going to be, it'll be too fraught with potential, they need to figure out what can we get through a court, if they're going to do this, you only do this if you can actually get it to be law and it's going to hold. One of the problems I think they would have if they tried to do this ID with an absentee ballot is Proposal 3 of 2018, which amended the Constitution, said everyone has the right to vote via absentee ballot. Now, that amendment does give the legislature the right to regulate elections, but that, right away you could see that could be a measure like that could run into trouble in court. So I would guess we'll see something very focused on voter ID You know, they're going to look at tactically, you know, where, you know, where were Democrats, how were Democrats best able to gin up turnout? Is there anything we can do, you know, from a court, you know, that can survive a lawsuit that we can get through? And if they, you know, can find that, they'll do it. Republicans are showing they can go out, they can gather the signatures, they can, enough of them are valid, and they can get it to the legislature. You know, it will probably take many months for that to happen. Now, the timing wise, they need to get this done. If they're going to do this, they have to get it done before the end of the year, because the Democrat, you still need a 2/3 majority in the House and Senate to give an initiated act like this immediate effect. Mm-hmm. And if they, and they do not have the votes for that in the Senate, if they do not get it to the legislature before the end of the year, the Democrats in the Senate will deny it immediate effect. And even if it becomes law, it won't be effective until 2023. Hmm. So there's some time pressure here. They're going to need to start gathering signatures pretty soon.
Immediately.
You know, you need to take advantage of the summer and good weather. They're going to need to move pretty soon.
Zach Gorchow is publisher of Gongwer News Service in Lansing. Zach, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good to be with you, Laura.
Coming up, we'll talk about the history of gay bars in mid-Michigan with the Michigan History Center. That's next. Stay with us.